This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, someone's just responded with such a beautiful response down here. May Allah bless you all. Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We commence in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, Wassalatu wassalamu ala Muhammad ibn Abdullahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We send blessings and salutations upon him, his household, his family members, and every one of us. Ameen. May Allah bless us and our children. My brothers and sisters, I know that the fast here is very slow. And I definitely do know that it's probably way longer than anything I've ever kept in my life. Coming from the southern part of Africa, we're very fortunate. We have between 11 to 12 hours, maximum 12 and a half to 13 at some times during the year. But that doesn't mean you don't need to respond when I say salam. I just heard one old man on my left here responding, and everyone else just looking, by the way. And when I said, Subhanallah, may Allah bless you. May Allah make it easy for you. Say Ameen at least. Ameen. MashaAllah, that's more like it. The month of Ramadan has come to an end. We just had today the last Jum'ah of this Ramadan. We will never have another Jum'ah in the same Ramadan. If Allah wills, He may take us away prior to the ending of Ramadan. Is that right? We're fasting, okay? If Allah wills, He may keep us to witness another Ramadan. If Allah wills, we may see the end of this Ramadan, but not the beginning of another one. So my brothers and sisters, the blessing that we find in this beautiful month of Ramadan is such that we should never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. What did you achieve from this month? Did it change you? Did it actually make you a better person? Did you become more serious in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did you become a person who is now going to fulfill his or her prayer more regularly? Remember, if you haven't changed, it's not too late. It's never too late. We all have our struggles. We all have things that are dear to us that at times happen to have a negative effect upon us. I'll give you an example. We have football. When is it? Tonight? Tomorrow night? Subhanallah. I saw a little poster just now saying, you have one of two more salahs. Either you fulfill more salah or you follow more salah. So I don't know which one they're talking about. And you know, in Ramadan, we definitely have more salah. Am I right? But my brothers and sisters, saying that, yes, it's not like totally haram to follow, but where you give preference over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you need to do better. You have a problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. I know the number of youngsters who told me, please pray, big night, my team, etc. I thought there were more important things to pray for. My brothers and sisters, don't worry. If they lose this time, it's not a stress. They will win perhaps next time. MashaAllah. But we need to win today, tomorrow, and every day. By doing what? Don't miss a salah.
الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Allah always says that He is looking for the quality of your deeds. When He weighs your deeds on the day of judgment, He's not going to count them, He will weigh them. Proving that the quality is far more important than the quantity. Remember this. Allah says, your deeds will be placed on a scale. You know why? 5 pounds given by one person and the same 5 pounds given by another person can have a totally different weight. Did you hear that? Depending on your intention, depending on what condition you were in when you gave the 5 pounds. A 5 pounder for a person who has 5 million pounds is not as much as a 5 pounds for the person who doesn't even have 50 pounds, mashallah. The same applies to your intention. If you were to give money in a beautiful way with a loving intention, bearing in mind you want your reward with Allah, then it holds far more value than if you were to give it and say, where's my name? I didn't see my name. I donated X, I donated Y. That's a test of Allah. It's a test of Allah. Do you really want your name? Are you really doing it because you want the name and the fame? If that's the case, Allah might say to you, well, you've taken the name and the fame in the dunya, there's nothing left for you. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who have no belief at all in the hereafter. And Allah says,
وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلْ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا.
All their deeds that they have done, we have already given them in the past. We've already given them, it's like a used coupon. They've used their coupons, their deeds, whatever good they did, they got a recompense of it already in the dunya. And so there is nothing left. It's like scattered ash all over. Imagine doing deeds, and you do a lot of deeds, but because you did it in order to brag and to boast about it, and in order to show people, what will remain of that deed? Nothing. Nothing remains of it. Allah might give you what you were asking for. You were asking for the praise of the people and you got it. But if you were seeking the praise of Allah, that will come in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. My brothers and sisters, the reason I say this, every one of us has sacrificed during this month. Even those who have not been fasting because they have a legitimate reason, they have sacrificed during this month. Did you know that if you are a traveler, or if you are unwell, or if you are totally unable, and various other excuses, reasons, if you didn't fast, you are not actually sinful if you haven't fasted with a valid reason. That doesn't mean that you don't engage in other acts of worship that are permissible within the condition you're in. For example, if you were a traveler and you happened not to fast, okay? Guess what? You still have to read your salah. You still have to do your Quran. You still have to do your dhikr and remembrance of Allah. You still have to be a good person. You still have to be kind. You still have to reach out to others. All of this is still rewarded in a similar way because you had an excuse. Someone asked me a few days ago about a woman during her menstrual cycle. You know, she feels sad that she cannot do much more. I tell you, don't feel sad. Do you know why? The idea is to obey Allah. You earn your reward through the obedience of Allah. It's not through fasting or not fasting. It's through the obedience of Allah. If Allah says you fast, you fast. If Allah says do not fast, you do not fast. What's the common factor? The obedience of Allah. We cannot say, I want to fast. I want to fast at night as well. That's a simple fast, man. Your night is as short as ABC. Subhanallah. On top of that, we'll be sleeping most of the night anyway. Unless you're watching football. But to be honest, and if you do that, your team will lose, by the way. Yes, you cannot just fast when you like, how you like. There are certain days you are not allowed to fast, such as the days of Eid. It's got to do with the obedience of Allah. So if you happen to be within a certain condition, such as going through a menstrual cycle, remember, Allah loves that you follow what He says. He says, listen, I don't want you to fast. You say, Alhamdulillah, I won't fast. Why? Because you are my king, the king of kings. Subhanallah, you are my maker, my creator. You will decide when I will fast, when I will not fast. If you told me no, I won't. And I'll be happy about it. But still, you can engage in the dhikr of Allah. You can do a lot of other acts of worship. You can be kind to others. You can reach out to others. You can be charitable. And so much more. So, remember this. Don't be upset when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you not to fast. The same applies if someone is really sick and ill. Make use of the bonus and the discount that Allah has given you. When you are traveling and it's going to be an easy journey, you may want to keep your fast. But if it's going to be a difficult journey, you may want to break that fast. It's nothing wrong. Nobody can look at you and say, why are you not fasting? You're a traveler. But don't start munching all your food in public as though it's not even Ramadan. You know, if you're not fasting, you don't say, oh, my period. And you just start eating. Relax. Relax. That's the worst way of wording it. It's terrible. It's not what a Muslim should be saying. By the way, I'm traveling. There was a brother wanting to get married. So he said, I want to get married ASAP, meaning now. I said, but it's Ramadan. He says, no problem. I'm going to be traveling from tomorrow anyway. And I'm thinking, what does he mean? Do you know what he meant? Subhanallah. he meant that I'm going to be getting married, and because I need to, you know, be intimate with my spouse, I'm going to be traveling, so I don't need to fast. Imagine the type of loopholes people look at. Don't travel because you want to break the fast. But you break the fast when you are traveling. There is a big difference between the two, subhanAllah. I hope you get it here. And I see the brother smiling at me because he's seated not too far from here. Sorry to let out your secret, brother. Anyway, we've convinced him to delay the nikah to just after Ramadan, inshallah, because it seems like he's one of those who cannot control himself. May Allah bless you. Ramadan is all about self-control. Ramadan is all about holding yourself. You know what? You can see the food, you can see the drink, the aroma, beautiful, aromatic rotis and whatever else you call them, chapatis or whatever, right? Lovely. It smells better, especially when the belly's rumbling a little bit, right? And you're like, gosh, it's only 7 o'clock. You know what time the fast opens? Subhanallah. And you know what? It's all about control. I'm going to have it just now. When the time is right, you will have it. The same applies to everything else. When the time is right, you will have it. Don't worry, but wait until that time. Subhanallah. You can apply it in whatever way you want, my brothers and sisters. It is applicable. See, the youngsters there are all laughing loud. Their minds went somewhere else, okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. So my brothers and sisters, Ramadan is a beautiful month. Imagine, we're supposed to be staying away from food and drink and permissible sexual desires, okay? Intimacy. That doesn't mean what is prohibited becomes allowed. When we say prohibited, it's always prohibited, in and out of Ramadan. But when we say that which is ordinarily permissible, you don't engage in it. Many people don't know. Recently, I spoke about the ruling of masturbation during fasting. And people were shocked, but I had so much of good feedback from young people who told me, wallahi, we didn't know. Wallahi, we didn't know. And I'm like, gosh, you mean you haven't been fasting all these years? May Allah forgive us and protect us. It's terrible because we don't even know the rulings. And sometimes we're too embarrassed to mention things because we don't know how to digest what has been said. But my brothers and sisters, over and above that, imagine for those of us who are married, if Allah had said the whole month you stay away from your spouse, it would have been very difficult. So Allah says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. The evenings in Ramadan, the nights during the fast, it is permissible for you to be intimate with your spouse during that night time. Subhanallah. Sorry, I know in the UK it's a bit short, but it's okay. You've got to make do with that. Alhamdulillah. But it's permissible. Subhanallah. Imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if it wasn't. Subhanallah. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. He says it's okay, it's permissible. Then he says something unique. They are a clothing unto you, and you are a clothing unto them. He doesn't even say similar to. He says a clothing. Do you know what? You're supposed to be covering each other's faults, and you're supposed to be beautifying each other. When you get married, one of the things you should be learning from Ramadan is in the evenings, the permissibility of intimacy is coupled with the mention of the clothing. You beautify each other. Subhanallah. When you get married, you don't start exposing the weaknesses of your spouse. You know what? He is like this, like that, etc. You say good things. You try to mention good points. You try and beautify them. Subhanallah. Just like your clothing. When we wear clothing, people look at us and they say, mashallah, this person looks so good. You know what? If you had to see how fat I was, or if you had to see how, you know, my hair was, etc., you probably would have said, this guy needs a bit of help. But because you can see the beautiful clothing, mashallah, you can't see what Allah's told us to hide. Amazing. So the same applies to spouses. You hide one another's weaknesses. Yes, yes. When you need help, you may want to mention, you have the right to mention what's going wrong in your marriage with respect to those who are going to help you. Not just to the general public. You don't go onto Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and start saying, right guys, I want to expose my husband and my wife. Allah will expose you. The hadith says, whoever covers someone else, Allah will cover them in the dunya and the akhirah. And whoever exposes someone else, Allah will expose them even if they are in the corner and the coziest, darkest, most private corner of their own houses. Allah will expose them. Why? They have the urge to expose others. Allah says, you just wait, your day is coming. So why should we do that? I always seize the opportunity of Ramadan to be extra nice to my family members, to be extra nice to others, because do you know what? It's not so easy. When you're hungry, you're normally angry. They used to say a hungry man is an angry woman. It's no longer accurate, because do you know why? Now we've got to add a hungry woman is an angry woman. It used to be just a man, right? Now there's equality, by the way. It's a man and a woman, subhanallah. So hungry people are generally angry people. Let's word it that way, okay? When you're hungry and you're not angry, you're probably fasting for the sake of Allah. You're going to be smiling. This afternoon I had a moment to speak to some of the almost 100 volunteers who are with us. And I said to them, you're doing this for the sake of Allah. So even if someone is rude, even if someone is abusive, you keep smiling because you've still pleased Allah either way. Whether they were good or not, you've pleased Allah. In fact, if they were abusive and you were still kind, you pleased Allah even more. Because Allah chose for the people to come. When someone comes in your direction and they're really, you know, hot-headed and they want to swear at you, Allah is the one who knows they were going to come. So as they came, treat it in a way that you're just conscious of Allah's watch and you're just conscious of the fact that everything's being written. So you look at them and you still smile because someone's watching. It's like when you know that you're on TV and the others don't. So you're still acting nice, acting kind because you're a cheat. You actually know you're on CCTV, right? And you actually know that everyone's watching and the others don't. We know that Allah is watching all the time. So you're live. You're live all the time. Your video, you're going to watch it on the day of judgment, if Allah wills, perhaps in a different way, but you're going to see your deeds. And that's why Allah says on that day, يَوْمَ تَأْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تُجَادِلُ عَن نَفْسِهَا. On that day, each soul will come defending itself. Everyone will say, no, I did this because of that and because of this. And yes, yes, this is what I did, and deny this and don't deny that. And you know what? It will be shown to you, and so on and so forth. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Take account of your deeds before they will be taken account of by Allah. Take account of your deeds. What does that mean? I want to pause for a moment. We're in Ramadan. You know, if you put a little salt in your mouth and that happens to get to your throat, your fast is broken. You know that? And it was not even meaningful. You can break your fast with little things. We become conscious of everything. We even become conscious of the phlegm in our own system. We even become conscious of the saliva in our mouths. That's how a mu'min is. Right? And by the way, if there is saliva that has gathered in your mouth, you are allowed to swallow it. It's part and parcel of that saliva. But if it's a large amount of it that you've just spat out, meaning you've just brought up, you need to spit it out, inshallah. So, my brothers and sisters, when we do deeds, every deed has a weight. That weight is known by Allah. And it is also known to a certain extent by people who have studied, the people of knowledge. Like for example, you might just think something is very simple when you say, ooh, that girl, you know, she's so arrogant, you know, just look at the way she's walking. And you're thinking all these things and you're saying them out to your friends and you think, well, it's basic. It's not basic. The Quran speaks about false accusation. It speaks about so many other things. It speaks about backbiting, slander, deception, etc. And then Allah says, when it comes to false accusation, especially of immorality, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيْنَا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You think it's something light, something basic, and yet with Allah it is something major. It is massive, major. It is very big. So you'll be surprised to see deeds you thought were minute and they are heavy on the wrong side of the scale. And the opposite is true, where Small words that you say with love and with the correct intention will be weighing heavily on the scale. One of those words or those sentences that have the greatest weight, if you genuinely say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you genuinely say, there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. Those words have such a great weight that you will be surprised. But my brothers and sisters, how many of us have said the Shahada today? I'm not talking of entering the fold of Islam. I'm talking of Muslims repeating, reiterating, and reciting, saying again the Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah or Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. You should be saying it when you're engaging in ablution known as ghusl or wudu. You should be saying it throughout the day a few times. Become conscious of these words. Say them. Repeat them. Allah is waiting for you to say these words. He loves them. Kalimatani habibatani ila ar-Rahman. Kalimatani khafifatani ala al-lisani thaqilatani fil mizani habibatani ila ar-Rahmani. Two little sentences, small words that are very light on the tongue, very heavy on the scale, and very loved by Allah. Allah loves these words so much. What are these two words? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Declaring the praise and glorification of Allah, who is the greatest. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Can't you repeat those words right now while we're seated here? Say them softly to yourself with the intention of declaring the praise of Allah. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. I promise you those words you've just uttered now, they are more loved by Allah than you can imagine. They are very heavy on the scale. And you know how loving Allah is? Something I'm going to tell you that will surprise you. Many people don't know that on the Day of Judgment, the scales, there will be two sides of the scale. There will be the right and the left. The bad deeds are put on the left and the good deeds are put on the right. The love of Allah is such that if your good deeds weigh more than your bad deeds, Allah will give you Jannah and ignore those bad deeds. Did you hear that? Allah will ignore those bad deeds and give you Jannatul Firdaus. Why? Because you have had greater weight on the good side. Allah knows you're human. I'm human. We may falter, we may err. One thing that weighs heavier and more than all good deeds is shirk. What does that mean? If someone associates partnership with Allah, it is so heavy that it will tip a scale to the degree that Allah says, you know what? This is very, very bad. He calls it unforgivable. That's what Allah says. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. But if someone did do that during his or her life, or no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, Ramadan is a month of mercy. Allah is the Lord of mercy. These are the days of mercy. The last 10 nights are even more filled with the mercy of Allah. The odd nights, such as tonight, even filled more with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is stopping you from saying, Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Do you know what happens when you say, Oh Allah, forgive me? The bad on that scale gets wiped out and suddenly you're fixing the scales. You are fixing the scales. Imagine you go to the fruiterer and they weigh the fruit. They put the little kilo weights and they put the fruit on the other side and they're trying to give it to you. Okay, I know this doesn't happen in England anymore, but wherever it does happen, okay? And they're taking it out and putting it back in order to balance it. Imagine if you had the ability to delete and to fix your scale. I promise you right now you do. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you know what? If this Laylatul Qadr, by the way, it's the Layla of Taqdeer. Taqdeer means destiny. This is the night in which the destiny is written for the following year. People mistaken it with other nights, but it's called Laylatul Qadr. Qadr is from Taqdeer. It means destiny. This is why we say the night of decree. The night of decree. Because the decree is written on this night. So when you want to know when Taqdeer is written, go back and look at the word Qadr, which is also Taqdeer. Laylatul Qadr. That is the night of decree. Some call it the night of power, the night of majesty. It is a powerful night. It is a night of majesty indeed. But primarily it is a night of decree, Laylatul Qadri. So my brothers and sisters, and Qadr from Qudra is also power, and it is depicting the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, if I were to witness this night, what should I do? Now, I've got WhatsApp messages that are so long to read what to do that the night is over, especially in England. Okay? I mean, your night, come on, how many? It's just a few hours, right? And in that, you have to do Maghrib. Sorry, you have to listen to the Adhan, eating your dates, do your Maghrib, do your Iftar, quickly wash up, dress up, go and do your Salat al-Isha, do your Salat al-Taraweeh, have your Suhoor, and you start fasting again. Is that not how it works here? I see the guys are not so happy with what I just said. I wish you could all come to Africa. We wouldn't have had to say what I just said. MashaAllah. But don't worry, in a few years' time, you're going to have it the other way around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. So, some people send you things. You need to read this 100 times, do this a certain number of times. New types of salah that they've innovated from their pockets, literally from their pockets. Someone comes and says, there's a salah called Salat something, I forget. Salat, I forget the name of it. Some weird names that they've given to these salahs. I promise you, when Aisha radiallahu anha, the most chaste of all the women, when she asked her husband, the most blessed of all creatures, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should I do? Do you know what? He says, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive, so forgive me. And the hadith ended there. How's that? How's that? Subhanallah. It goes to show that the primary aim of this night is to earn the forgiveness of Allah. Your ways, your habits, yes, Allah knows them. Allah knows your struggles. Allah knows what you've been through. Allah knows where you've fallen. Allah says, don't worry, I give you a chance to get up and to walk in line with those who've never committed a sin before. How? Because he says, At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kamalla dhanbala. The one who has sought forgiveness from a sin is equivalent to he who never committed the sin. Whoa, did you hear that? Amazing. Look at the mercy of Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Wadood. Subhanallah. O you who is most merciful, have mercy on me. O you who loves to forgive, forgive me. That's what we were taught to say. When you say that, you're actually correcting your scale. What happens? All the bad is being wiped out. And that seeking of forgiveness itself becomes an act of worship. And it goes on its own on that particular scale on the right side. Amazing. Imagine this. I want to say this again just to show you the mercy of Allah. When you've committed a sin, yes, it will go. If it gets to the day of judgment, it goes to the wrong side of the scale, the left side, right? If you seek forgiveness, it's not like that sin is just going to be wiped out. No, but beyond that, that seeking of forgiveness itself comes forth as an act of worship. And this is why Allah says, if you've changed your life, you deserve that we go back to all your bad deeds, take them and convert them into good deeds simply because you quit them for our sake. You quit your bad deeds in order to please us. We are so pleased with the fact that you've changed your life that we're going to take all the bad deeds you've done, convert them into good deeds and put them on the right side of the scale. Listen to the verses at the end of Surah Al-Furqan. Allah says,
إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ.
Except for those, when Allah speaks of the punishment, He makes an exception. He says, except for those who have sought forgiveness and believed and thereafter done good deeds, for them, it's not just forgiveness. We will convert their bad deeds into good deeds, subhanAllah. So my brothers and sisters, we have a few days remaining of this beautiful month. This evening we will be engaging in Taraweeh. This evening we'll be engaging in a little bit of ibadah. You need to engage in your own ibadah as well. Your own private crying to Allah. He will give you, He will help you, He will open your doors. Keep on going, do not give up, because those who give up are the ones who lose. Those who do not give up are the ones whom the doors will be flung open for when Allah knows it's the right time to fling the doors open. We have so many examples, perhaps on another occasion, that I can give you of people who thought their doors were closed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was actually favoring them with His mercy. Close this door, close the other door, close the other door, and the next. Why? Because the last one you're going to knock on shall open so wide that you will never regret the fact that we closed all the previous doors. But it needs examples for us to understand this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us. May Allah truly forgive us. It is an honor to be in your midst this evening, to be able to spend the rest of this evening with you in ibadah, in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during this beautiful light upon light 27th night at this Excel Center here in London. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by calling out to Allah, saying, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.